Welcome to Demystifying Gay Porn. My name is Laike Grande, and if you watch gay porn, I've definitely helped you get off. And so has a gentleman that's sitting here with me. He is a porn model, he is a content creator, and a go-go dancer who is known as the cock of the cock. How are you, Teddy Forrest?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for doing this again. I've been trying to get you on since, I think, last season. Actually, since season two.
Yeah, I feel like it was before the pandemic when you first mentioned it.
Because I wanted to do a segment called... Big dick problem, which we will get into. You are the cock of the cock for a reason.
Yes.
Real quick, I don't know if you know this story, and I don't think I've ever told you because I didn't want to come off as creepy or anything. Mm-hmm. But I was in Chicago in 2019, I think.
Okay.
I saw you at a bar somewhere.
Probably.
And you left. I knew you had, I think you were a content creator. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, wow, look at that guy. You were talking to some guy or a couple of guys, and then you left, and when you left, you went somewhere, and one of the guys was like, oh, his name is Teddy Forrest or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I eventually met you again at the Black Party. I don't know if you remember the whole...
That was a long night.
Oh, Black Party incident. Well, when I finally got to shoot with you, it turned out that you were one of the models for Just for Fans, or you were doing so, there was some kind of Just for Fans setup there.
Yes. Okay.
And I was there to shoot the Black Party, but then eventually they had me record for Just for Fans,
right?
And it was such a shitty recording.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So
because you couldn't use the music, right?
I couldn't use the music, so I didn't bring an audio recorder.
Yeah.
It was going to be one of those silent films, and I'm supposed to follow a model around, but everything that night just kind of fell apart.
Right.
But we ended up getting some really good scenes after that.
Uh-huh.
I dragged your ass into New Jersey. Remember that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
that was when I thought Treasure Island was into stories and things and shit.
Oh, yeah. But such a concept you had.
You know, minimal concept. Like, what they give me, you know? Yeah. So we've been working together now since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about time I kind of wanted to learn a little more about you.
Mm-hmm.
So Teddy Forrest comes from where?
So I grew up in the suburbs of Omaha, Nebraska, lived there, you know, through high school, upper middle class family, whole shebang, was raised Lutheran. I was like intensely, you know, religious as a kid. I was even like, you know, the youth group leader of, you know, my local church, like all this sort of stuff.
Wow. Okay.
Started coming out when I was like 15. Yeah. So we're coming up on too many years of that, 13 years now. You know, that was a exploratory process, especially still being religious at the time. Moved to Chicago for college, did undergrad there, and then was there for 5 years, and then I'm coming up on 5 years in New York now.
Okay. Growing up Lutheran, was your family, okay, so upper middle class and Lutheran, was your family tolerant of... Like before they even knew if they know?
Right. So like my dad would make like off the cuff gay jokes sort of things. I remember there was like a fire juggler or something on America's Got Talent. And, you know, they're just like, oh, he's fruity, you know, like that sort of thing. But never anything like super homophobic. He would always tell me not to watch girls shows. You know, like if ever he would like come in and I was watching like Hannah Montana, you know, a very little gay boy thing to do. He'd be like, why are you watching that girl show? That sort of thing. But no, like he ended up being probably the most accepting of like between my two parents. My mom, I came out to her first when I was still a freshman in high school. And I was like, you know, like, what do you think Dad would think about this? And she was like, well, I don't know. Thanks. Helpful. And she like pulled the phase card on me. She's the very intensely religious one. Mm-hmm. And so it was like a year and a half later that I finally came out to my dad. So like I laid at the foot of his bed. He was watching like golf or something on TV. And I was like, Dad, I'm gay. He was like, huh? I was like, I'm gay. He was like, oh, was anyone bullying you? I said, no. He's like, well, okay. It happens. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that quickly became like, all right, well, I see which parent I will be talking to about this from now on.
do you think they had conversations before for him to get to that level? Or do you think he was just...
I doubt it.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, no. My serious emotional conversations rarely happen in my family, sort of thing.
Were you an only child?
No, I'm the youngest of four.
Okay. Yeah. So you have four siblings, brothers and sisters?
Three siblings.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Three siblings, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Two sisters and a brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about the church? What about while you were, because you were, if you were active in church, I'm
yeah. Sure. So I didn't like come out on Facebook until I was in college. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of people didn't know, but like I told certain people in the church, certain friends, and they were like, not terrible about it. Mm-hmm. You know, like they were open to the debate, if you will. Yeah. Like
meet any other people that you probably thought were gay or lesbian or
in church?
I mean, yeah, I mean they're in church. They're there. Pastor stories.
Yeah. No, God, no. No. None of that. In my church community, as far as I know, and like even looking back and like, you know, 10 years later, I think I was like the only one
yeah.
raised in that, okay. to my knowledge. You know.
What about your siblings? Cool relationship with them? Cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of distant in certain ways. Like, we don't talk a lot.
Okay.
Like, that's just, my family is a series of very, like, kind of quiet people in their own ways. You know, I have one sister who's, like, really great about things. The other sister's pretty chill. My brother is a Midwestern man, but, like, he's, you know, accepting enough.
Okay. I always picture, like, all-American, corn-fed. Mm-hmm. I think I told you that once, too, and you were like...
Yeah, I mean, my grandparents did have a farm. Like, okay. we would go and spend, like, a week up there every summer, at least. So, I have experience picking corn and not detasseling, you know, not all the super yeah. nitty-gritty stuff. But, like, the first time I drove a car, I was in a field. I've driven tractors, like, all that sort of thing.
What about the guys up there growing up?
No,
really? No. No? Okay. No.
Like in rural Nebraska or in, like,
well, yeah,
Omaha?
Like, the sense of... like, did it forge any kind of, wow, sexual attraction at an early age?
Not
like,
really.
No?
Yeah, no, not strong. Not, like, no. you know, like, now I'm into, like, you know, I see, like, a hot guy in, like, a cowboy hat mm-hmm. and some boots. I'm like, I'm into that. But, like... No, no. not a lot of like the actual small town people. Yeah, well, because yeah. like I got shit for being from the city whenever I would go, like, and like socialize with like other kids. They'd be like, oh my God, like Omaha, it's so dangerous. Like it's the big city, which was, you know, asinine to me, mm-hmm. but just a lot of like kind of small minded, small town people that I never necessarily like got on with and socialized mm-hmm. with. And like I was visiting my grandparents, you know, like it was an isolated farm, like 10 miles outside of town sort of thing. It's like we would go into town, but like I didn't necessarily meet a ton of people.
So even 10 miles outside of Omaha, like you would get...
Oh, no, no, no. Like outside of their small town.
Oh, okay.
In like, you know, the middle of Nebraska, basically. Okay. Yeah.
How far is Omaha from Lincoln?
40 miles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've been to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yes.
Once. Found myself there on mm-hmm. a road trip across the country. What made you want to come to Chicago?
So I studied urban planning in undergrad. I'm actually still in grad school for it now. I liked cities. You know, my sister went to school in Chicago and like driving her there because she was 2 years older than me. So driving her there, like my kind of junior year, I really fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. I started getting pamphlets from university. Like one had a program in urban planning that I got really excited about. So, you know, like, yeah, I wanted to be in a bigger city and like experience that kind of city life, you know. Riding and trains and shit.
What was your undergrad like?
It was good. Yeah. So I went to DePaul, which is, mm-hmm. you know, at the time, the nation's largest Catholic university, but like incredibly gay.
Really?
You know, oh my God, it was so gay. You would honestly forget it was a Catholic university on top of that. Like I know, you know, like you had to take a religion course, but like mine was on like religion and ethics. And we never even really talked about Christianity in it. You know, it was... like the ethics of like Imperial Japan and how it used its religiosity to kind of further its interests, but that's an aside. So yeah, no, DePaul, very, very gay. Like pride flags kind of everywhere.
Wow.
Even on like the first floor of the student center is this big like LGBT resources center. Yeah, no, it was great.
Okay. Urban planning. Tell me a little bit more about that. What kind of
trains? Yeah, so I'm into trains of all sorts, running trains in multiple different ways, you know. It all just lines up. Like, suburbs are boring to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, they don't have to be, is the other thing. But it's just like, to this extent, like, you know, it's absurd to me that you have to own a car to live in like 90% of America.
I think that's so funny because I grew up in the city.
Yeah.
Not here, but city in a city.
Right.
And the first chance I got to get away from it all, I did.
Oh, yeah. No, I find small towns super charming. You know, like I was just in Cold Spring this past weekend. Mm-hmm. Town of like 2,000 people up on, you know.
Hudson Valley.
Up in the Hudson Valley, off a train line. Like you get off. And there's just like people everywhere. Like my grandparents' town was like approximately the same size with nowhere near as good of economy. And you know, part of it is that this town has a train that goes to it that can like bring people from the city to have like that quiet, kind of quiet, relaxing weekend. Or like going out to Fire Island where you can take a train to a bus to a ferry, like, and then like just not have to interact with cars or any of that sort of stuff. Like that's great to me.
Yeah. I will say, I think that is, I like that. I like that aspect of it, not having a car, not having to worry about that stuff. But there's something about space.
Yes.
Like here, I lived in the city for a little while and it was, I had to have two roommates because you needed roommates to live in the city. And my room was probably enough for a futon that folded out and a book rack. And that's kind of how I kept it because it was like secondary so I can go to work.
Right.
But I just, you know, it was so tiny compared to everything that I got used to that I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And then that whole city life or the city experience, since I grew up so close to the city, I was like, I kind of already did this. So I left. I eventually ended up leaving and I learned, if anything, that taught me how to learn to appreciate where I was because I didn't like it either.
Yeah.
It was a little too quiet for me too, a little too waspy, if you will.
Right. Yeah. But like the absurd thing is to me, like if you want to have that space, I don't think you should still need to have a car, you know, like,
you're right.
Like I said, like getting to Cold Spring, I could take a train, you know, gets me directly to Grand Central in an hour. And you know, you're suddenly in this small town with like all this space and these beautiful vistas of nature. And like, that's something that like trains can support.
Yeah.
Like if you had to have, you know, everyone that goes up to Cold Spring drives there. You know, like you're going to have these vast expanses of parking lots ruining the nature,
yeah,
like
true.
Ruining the space that you want to have, you know?
You said you're in grad school now, right now for urban planning. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do?
I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in the intersection of transit and land use in particular, and just like kind of making sure that we're using our transit as efficiently as possible. And so, you know, that you can simultaneously preserve like this city, these small towns and the nature that surrounds them. Kind of where we're going. We'll figure it out.
A little more Eurocentric. A little more Eurocentric. You know how Europeans have amazing rail system that goes through every single country, and you can kind of get there easier. You don't have to take a car through everything. You can
like even you know suburbs in Europe, like you know they're not Manhattan everywhere. It's like you have these small towns and suburbs that like. You know, it's not just single family homes everywhere and then like a big ass box Walmart with a huge parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you have these mixture of houses and uses and like, you know, a single family home can be next to like a little 8-unit apartment building and that all works great. And Americans just don't like that.
Yeah. They sure don't. So while you're in school, while you're in college in DePaul, gay is Catholic college. In the country, right? while you're in DePaul, what was being gay like now that you're in college, you're in a bigger city, you're alone,
right?
Away from people or prying eyes.
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
I mean, it was great. Like I suddenly had gay friends for the first time. Like there were, you know, kids in high school, like, especially looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, you were gay. But like, you know, no real community.
There was no pride parade in your town.
There's a pride parade in
Omaha. Now, probably, right?
Well, yeah, but even back then, there
even
was.
Back then, okay, yeah. okay.
But like, you know, like I didn't join like the GSA at my school because like I was still kind of like in that weird identity closet-ish space. So going to college, like suddenly I was surrounded by gay people and like had gay friends and like my first time and like everything kind of like cascaded all at once. So a friend of mine, there was this bar in Boys Town, Halstead's, I think it was, that had, it was called Wild Thursdays and it was the 18 plus night because otherwise, you know, you had to be 21 to the bars. So a friend brought me to that one night. You know, we're there, we're dancing, drinking water, very exciting. And I see these two guys that I knew from one of the gay clubs that I was involved with at DePaul. And, you know, I'm just kind of like dancing by myself, and like they talk to each other for a second, they look at me, and then they like flank me on either side and start dancing with me. And my friend just over there, like very much applauding. And that was my first kiss. I had never had a kiss before, and I actually kind of hated it.
Really?
Well, it's just a very unfamiliar feeling. Like, you know, having suddenly like someone's wet tongue is in your mouth for the first time. You're like, this is weird.
Did he go in quick with the tongue, or was it like nice and smooth?
It's been so long now, and there's been so many other tongues that I can't tell you. But I just remember like vividly like walking outside like the end of the night with my friend and like just kind of like spitting in the grass a little bit, like, ugh, I don't enjoy this feeling. But so I gave one of them my number. I think his name was Justin.
And I love that. You had options already. One of them, I gave one of them my number.
Well, I mean, they were like best friends and did everything together, and including, I guess, making out with me. But then, like, yeah, one of them, like, in particular, like, went off and started doing his own thing. And then, like, the other stayed with me, and we kept dancing and, like, kissing a little bit and whatever. Anyway, so he texts me after, like, I get back to my dorm. He's like, hey, you want to come over? And I was like, sure. You know, like, the horny finally overpowered everything. And so, yeah, like, went over, had my first time, kind of, well, we spent the longest time just, like, sitting and talking on his bed, because I didn't know what to do. I was like, do I make a move? Like, we just kind of sit here awkwardly and talk, what happens? And finally, he just, like, leaned in and kissed me. So, again, we start going to town. He takes, you know, like, off my underwear finally. He just goes, oh, wow. yeah, no. People always ask, like, when did you know you had a big dick? That was the moment. Right there.
Okay, so you know? Remember that moment then. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah, because every preceding time I've had sex since then, and, like, no one's known what my dick looked like, same reaction.
Oh, wow. So, that's not a bad reaction to have.
It's not. But then every now and then, like, someone is like, oh, has anyone ever told you you had a big dick? I was like, yes. Constantly.
So after that experience, you find out, or you, now you know you have a big dick.
Yes.
What was your relationship like with porn?
initially unhealthy. When I first started like jerking off, I would feel awful about it.
Okay.
Like it was this very like sort of like, because I was, you know, super religious. Mm-hmm. So like jerking off, sinful. Jerking off to gay porn, extra sinful.
Yeah.
You know, I had like fully convinced myself in my mind that like if I ever like jerked off, ever came, the next day would be a bad day. Mm-hmm. Just like this sort of like karmic retribution for like you did this bad thing.
Yeah, shame on you.
Shame on you. Here's some punishment, you know, like from life. Eventually grew out of that. Definitely by college, I think I was, especially when I started having sex. The next day. So my first time was in February. So, you know, February in Chicago, infamously cold and terrible.
Horrible.
There was something magical to me the next day after, you know, I came with this guy like four different times over the course of a night. It was like sunny and the snow was melting. And I was like, huh. A new day is dawning, you know, on like, maybe I'm not going to be struck down today. Yeah, who knows? But yeah, so like for the longest time, my relationship with porn was this like, kind of like guilt wrapped thing that, you know, now look at me.
Well, yeah, it's very interesting. So now what's your sex life like now after the doors were open?
It unleashed something in me, I tell you. So... you know, like I kind of like struggled with like friendships growing up in particular, like being probably a little bit neurodivergent, gay, all these other things in Nebraska that, you know, I didn't always have a lot of friends, you know? So suddenly like I start having sex and I have this avenue where I'm extremely valued, you know, cause I have a big dick. Great. Phenomenal. So like I could essentially, like I had all this power. You know, in front of me, I had this way that like people really valued me in a way that I didn't necessarily always feel valued. So like I went to Steamworks for the first time. I love Steamworks. I miss it so much living here. Good God. But I went to Steamworks for the first time the day before Easter in 2014, which was, you know, an incredible experience. And again, like I suddenly like, I am a person with significant sexual power, and you know, I would go so fucking much thereafter because like I was horny, you know, I was 19 and horny, mm-hmm. but also like people really liked me suddenly.
So you're just walking around full buff at Steamworks?
I would walk around in a towel.
Okay.
But the reveal was part of
it.
Men in towels really turned me on.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, Well, because that was also some, like, the earliest porn that, like, I did. Mm-hmm. I watched, sorry. Was, like, I would find, like, websites for gay bathhouses and just kind of, like, jerk off to the images of guys in okay. towels, you know?
Oh, we'll have to do something like that. That would be fun. I'm into it. Okay.
But yeah, no, so I would almost say, like, for a while, it was, like, an unhealthy relationship with sex. Because I have ADHD, so, like, I have a lot of, like, really strong compulsions sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I would be going to Steamworks at times, like, 2 times a week because I was just, like...
And you knew...
Need this release, need this, like...
And you know, did you have to jerk off now too, or did you just go to Steamworks?
Everything.
Okay, so you were just going nuts.
Yeah, I would like try to jerk off, like stop myself from going, because I was a poor college student. You know, like even with the free memberships, it was still, you know, $15-$20 to get in, mm-hmm. which when you're, you know, a college student, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. But no, it was definitely a time where I was like, this is, like, I think I have an addictive personality as well, but that's another thing. Where, like, it was almost unhealthy.
So Steamworks, you now realize you have this sexual mm-hmm. power over people. How long until you start thinking, okay, well, oh, and what started first? Did you start dancing first, or were you already thinking about, I can do porn?
Yeah, so I started dancing first. So I graduated in 2016. I had a lot of AP credits, so I graduated a year early.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. This is an aside, but like my graduation day was the morning of Pulse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, my aunt sent me this screenshot. Like, I was just sitting through my graduation ceremony, kind of looking at my phone at all these updates of, like, this shooting at a gay club. And my aunt was watching, like, remotely from wherever. Took a screenshot as I was walking across the stage, and a drop down notification had like come up on her phone that was like 49 killed in gay club in Orlando. And I'm just like, well, welcome to adulthood,
yep.
You know, like this very real reminder of homophobia after having like 3 years of essentially like gay utopia mm-hmm. in Chicago at DePaul. Anyway, so I graduated, couldn't find work for the longest time because undergraduate degrees are, you know, not what they used to be. So this other defining moment, a friend of mine was working at the Lucky Horseshoe in Chicago. Okay. And I was curious about it for a while. Like, I talked to him and I was like, you know, like, what if I auditioned? He was like, great, come do it. So I went. It was the second Tuesday in November in 2016. Little day called Election Day.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, audition was like, you get up on stage for like 10 minutes in like a jockstrap, you shake, whatever. So I get up on stage at 6:30 p.m.
Full crowd or no?
No.
Okay.
The bar is empty at that time.
Okay.
Like 5 people maybe. 6:30 p.m. I get up on this, you know, stage. Polls had just closed in like Kentucky and Vermont. Election 2016. And... You know, I'm like, well, this is, you know, fun. As like, they have it on the TV, too. They had it on the fucking TV, like, in this strip club go-go bar in Chicago. So, like, I do, like, my little dance for 10 minutes. I go, I get dressed. I go to Sidetrack and have a drunk, depressing night.
Well, I'm...
Like, you want to see, like, the energy leave a room.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh. I feel like that everybody had it on because they everybody kind of thought.
Yeah, there was
the
expectation, you know?
First woman president. Yeah, fuck it.
Right? And then my first day at the bar was, like, that next Saturday or something. And, like, that's all I can, like, talk about. It's just like... Well, funny times we're living in, huh? Anyway, I'm new here.
Little did we know, we had no idea.
Right, right. Right. So yeah, I worked at the Shoe basically until I moved out of Chicago. Porn started. I met Jack Vidra. And he was like, hey, like, you want to do some videos with me? Like, you don't have to show your face or anything. Like, I'll even like give you some money for like performing with me since you don't have your own thing. I was like, great. Yeah, sure. So like did a couple videos with him where it's just like, essentially just all me doing like POV stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he connected me with Griffin Barrows.
Okay.
You know, the very infamous coming all over the face video that I constantly see and adore. Yeah, Griffin, you know, do kind of similar things, but just entirely POV, him sucking my dick, do a couple of those. And, but like, he always names his guys, even if they're not like performers. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right, like, what's my name then? He's like, Teddy. So Griffin Barrows named me, you know, He says it's because I reminded him of the sheriff from Westworld, James Marsden, I think, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, the blue eyes is what he said it was. You know, I do a couple of videos with him, and finally I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I'm doing this stuff. Like, I'll just create my own Twitter. He, like, retweets me. He's like, hey, go follow Teddy. Like, here's videos of us. And, like, I get 2,000 followers in, like, an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just on Twitter. Yeah, that was kind of the start of it. So this was in 2018 at this point when this all kind of went down. Yeah, and then I moved to New York and eventually started showing face. And now here I am.
So studio-wise, because I know you've done studio work. You've worked with Treasure Island. You've worked with Rafa Club for Champ, Vision X. What other studios have you... You've done other studio work.
That's been it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
I would like to do more, but like I'm not like aggressively you know,
you're kind of just thoughtful. You're here, you're doing your go-go dancing at the same time, right?
Yeah, so I moved to New York with like the excuse of a job of working in real estate. Like I got my license and certification and everything, started doing it, hated it.
Really?
I am not a salesperson. I'm not the person to, you know, sit cold call. I just have such like a... Like, if I don't truly believe in, like, the product or, like, what I'm actually, like, arguing about, like, you do what you want. Yeah. Like, you want me to sell your house? No? Okay.
If you were predatory, I can see you being insanely good at it.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying. I feel the same way when it comes to...
Right.
Why are you going to push something that you don't have faith in?
So, a guy at the office I was working at for, like, those 3 months that I did it, he was like, you know... You're too smart for real estate. I was like, excuse me? He's like, well, what I mean is you like overthink everything. You're like super analytical and like a lot of real estate is just going and doing it, you know, whereas a lot of me is thinking about it for a long time and then doing it.
Planning.
A colleague of mine from the Lucky Horseshoe wanted to move to New York like 2 months after I did. And he was like, can you go check out a couple of bars for me? And so I was like, yeah, you know, like I'll go check out a bar for you. Like, whatever. So I went to Cut the Cock on a Tuesday in September and I was like, oh, this is fun. Because Tuesdays were run by Brian Maselli at the time and he knew how to put on a good, slutty, debaucherous night. You know, it was very much like, hey, like, buy a drink, show your dick, you get a free shot. Like, all this stuff to like encourage people to get naked, to be slutty, to be like very... uninhibited, you know. So I'm suddenly enraptured in it. I was like, well, maybe I'll do this. So that night, you know, like I whip out my dick, he sees it and he's like, oh, that's big. As the night goes on, I take off more and more of my clothes. Next thing I know, I'm like fucking a guy on top of the bar. Wow. And yeah, and Brian was like, all right, you're hired.
Jeez. So just like that, huh?
Yeah, and just like that, essentially.
Did your colleague from the shoe come as well, or
eventually he didn't last.
Okay.
he moved in September. I think Brian gave him like one practice shift and was just unimpressed.
Didn't work.
Okay. It didn't work.
Right. Yeah, I feel like that's another thing. You kind of you have to have that too.
And you have to have to work at the Cock. This blend between you're here for money and you're here to have fun. If you're too leaning into like you're here to have fun, you know, you're not going to make money. You're just going to essentially go get fucked on the dance floor.
Give it away for free.
Yeah, exactly. And then like that also kind of affects my bottom line of like, well, you're supposed to be a go-go dancer. Why are you, you know, the one letting everyone grab up on you for nothing? But simultaneously, if you're only in it for money and like you get super dickish about it, like a significant portion of the Cock is having fun. You know, like it is being slutty and this kind of like... offering this fantasy of public sex, like this dungeon, like, you know, let me stand on top of this box with like these candles around me while, you know, this beautiful twink gives me a blowjob. And I like, I'm just sipping on a drink, looking out over a crowd. Like that is power and sex and like, love it.
How often do you get people that come in and say, oh, Teddy Forrest is here?
Every now and then, especially like when I tweet about it. So we just opened on Tuesday last night for the first time like since the pandemic. And so I was like,
oh, wow. Furious. It just opened since the pandemic?
On Tuesdays. We've been doing Thursday through Sunday for essentially most of the time since we've reopened in 2021.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Tuesday's the one that's debaucherous, is the one that...
Well, I mean, they're all debaucherous to differing degrees, but like Tuesday was my personal favorite.
Okay.
Because there's something about being able to make money on a Tuesday night that I very much enjoy. True. So yeah, I can like go Tuesday's hang out with friends on Saturday, you know?
I can see that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about big dick problems, right? So it's not all it's cracked up to be sometimes, right?
No.
Okay. So what are some things that happen with you? And you know what? For people listening or watching, you're just going to have to, if you haven't already seen this video, so you're just going to have to watch. Because I can't put it up online right now on the interview, but it's very impressive. Very. I love it. And that's good. You have a good sense of you on your shoulders.
Yeah.
It's very nice to look at when you're watching somebody. For instance, I love the insertion scenes and the suck scenes with you. Mm-hmm. Whenever I have somebody coming in that, oh, I love big dick. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll call Teddy Forrest. I'll text Teddy Forrest, have him come over. But it's not all it's cracked up to be. Mm-hmm. So what are some issues that you have? For instance, I asked Antonio Biaggi once and he said, oh, when I go to the bathroom, it kind of just falls right into the toilet, gets toilet water all over it. I'm like, damn, okay. Yeah. What are some things that happen to you as the owner of a big dick?
I mean, let's see. So because of like the way it bends, like it does go down my pant leg fine. So like I can walk around hard and like you wouldn't really know the wiser, which is nice, honestly. I'd say that, like the biggest issue is like some guys can be real weird about it. You know, like especially if I reject them. You know, then they decide to use it as a weapon against me, sort of thing. I had this guy that I hooked up with a couple times in Chicago. And finally, like, I was like, okay, like, I don't know a single thing about you. We basically just fuck and I leave. Like, this is feeling quasi-dehumanizing to, like, just feel like I'm your dildo or something. So, like, I was like, yeah, no, like, I'm not interested in more, whatever. And he like went in. He was like, well, people only like you because of your big dick. Like, you're not even that hot. Like, like he's furious at me because I was like suddenly no longer interested in sex, even at the cock. Like, so many guys will just like grab me, like grab my dick because I dance naked, hard cock, full thing. Well, yeah. Like, I'll be on a box. Like, clearly, like, I'm the go-go dancer. I have money in my harness. Like, tip me. And they'll just like grab my dick, keep walking. Just like this very like, you don't even acknowledge that like I'm a human, you know, you just
don't even look up sometimes.
Or, yeah, exactly. Like I once told the guy, I was like, hey, like tip me if you're going to touch me.
Damn
like, right. I don't care if you ignore me. Like I frequently tell people that I'm like, well, I can get like so much more dick out there for free if I wanted to, like, again, similar, you're not even that hot. It's all, it's always, just, you're not even that hot.
Damn.
I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like, I don't care if you can get it for free out there. Like, go do that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not going to bother you if you do. But the fact that you're bothering me. Like,
and you're touching me. Yeah.
You're touching me. You're not even acknowledging me sometimes, where it's just like.
So, nice. The mentality to go into that. What is it? What is that like? So when things like that do happen, the first couple times it happens, how does that feel? Like, I can.
Probably annoying. Yeah. Like, it consistently happens like a couple times in a night. And I brush it off.
Okay.
When, like, usually not the yelling. Usually it's just the grabbing and the walking. Then I'll have, like, repeat offenders where I have to be like, hey. Like, I will physically grab their arm and, like, really much, like, press down here is kind of, like, my go-to move. Because I'm like, this hurts. I'm like, tip me if you're going to touch me. And then I can eventually kick people out. So, like, I've gotten adept at it over the years. But, you know, it's just kind of like the mental of, like, I'm here to have a good time. I'm here to be sexy. I'm here to, you know, do these things. It happens. I don't like it, but, you know, it's the struggle. Also, like, just kind of also saying this, I was like, a white guy with a big dick. Like, I can only imagine the shit that black guys with big dicks go through, especially in, like, the dehumanization department.
Yeah.
All that. So.
I've had an issue with that watching it on Twitter. And oh yeah, no, this person has a big dick. And I'm like, yeah, but they're also really nice too, or really smart, or really this, you know, there's so much more. That's part of where all of this comes from.
Right.
Yeah. They're sexy and they're hot, but they're also, I mean, I would say 20% of people, maybe I'm being generous. 20% of people don't have anything going on in here probably, but I've met a lot of really, really cool models that are awesome people who just happen to take their clothes off and have sex in front of a camera for you or dance or, you know, they do sex work. So when people want to come find you now at the cock, what nights are the best?
So yeah, I'm usually there some combination of Friday through Sunday. I tend to like the nights where it's just upstairs. People always ask, like, oh, is the downstairs opening time? I'm like, no, but you can still get naked. You can still suck dick. Like, it doesn't have to be in pitch black in this, like, pit, you know? Like,
would they be open to shooting there?
Oh, I have no fucking idea. I would, yeah.
It's, yeah, I understand because there's a lot of people that go in there that are, like, patrons, and they probably don't want to be.
Right. Yeah, no, it's just, yeah, the owner. He has, you know, opinions on things that I don't question.
Okay. All right. It would be awesome to do like a night at the Cock or something like
that. Yeah, no, totally. I would love that. I've always thought about that. Yeah. Truly.
Even if it's...
You get me a proposal and I'm... Who knows, money or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm sure Tim can foot the bill for a lot of it.
Great.
And, you know, have a theme as opposed to just being in... You know, one room after the other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I love it.
Probably cut that part out. I'm not trying to get into trouble. Okay, so, Teddy, when people want to find you that don't know who you are, who are going to just discover you from here, what's the best place to go? Give me some Twitter handles. Give me...
Yeah, so my Twitter, that's like where I live mostly, is TeddyForestXXX. My Just for Fans is the same. I do most of my uploads there because they're a lot more friendly to the things I enjoy, such as poppers and outdoor sex.
Okay. Outdoor sex, huh?
Outdoor right. sex, yeah. The best sexual experience I think I've ever had was Fire Island, the Belvedere. Pig House hosted a party there, and it was during the day. So, you know, you're out looking over the water, laying back in this sling, the sun is high in the sky, and there's just all these hot naked guys. That was paradise to me, you know, like something just like natural and like fucking under the sun, you know.
Instagram?
No. Okay. I have a hard enough time creating content for like a non-porn Instagram that like you want me to take photos where I can't show my dick, you know, like... What do I post about? Yeah.
You've been listening to Demystifying Gay Porn. I am your host, Ike Grande. Demystifying Gay Porn is available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as YouTube. Demystifying Gay Porn is on X, Instagram, Facebook, Telegram. And if you like what you're watching or listening to and want to be a part of the creative process, head over to patreon.com/demystifyinggayporn. Where you can help support this audiovisual podcast and YouTube channel, and I can continue making content like you've just enjoyed. Once again, this is Demystifying Gay Porn. My name is Ike Grande, and if you watch gay porn, I've definitely helped you get off. Cheers.